Well, let's turn to that chapter, 2 Timothy 1, and look at verse 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. And these words in particular. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Now last week we thought on the words from Isaiah 26, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And we sang the hymn, Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. And the emphasis last week was on the Christian mind. And so it is this evening. We continue with the Christian mind, as seen in this expression, a sound mind. Now, some thoughts on the verse as a whole, and the verse before as well, to help us get our bearings. If you look at the verse before, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. The first thing we need to resolve is the word spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit, or is it the spirit of man? Although you'll find many commentators go back and forth about these options, I believe it must be the Holy Spirit, or at the very least, a man filled with the Holy Spirit. If you just look at the verse before, it speaks of with Timothy to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And that was the gift of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, and it makes sense, because what follows are really characteristics of a man filled with the Holy Spirit. If you look at the characteristics, they fit in to what you would expect, a man filled with the Spirit. The first being, a man not with a spirit of fear or timidity. And boldness is really a mark of the Holy Spirit. If you see Pentecost, you know, so clearly shown at Pentecost, the fearful disciples become the bold apostles filled with the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, you know, the poor people of God before Pentecost, struggling, but there something happens and there is a boldness, a remarkable boldness. And so it is the blessing seen in the blessing of the church throughout the ages. This boldness shows itself from time to time in the various revivals. Men become giants, and men who are superhuman, you could say. And then we see power, the spirit of power. That certainly fits in with the spirit, the unction, men preaching in power. People have been saved, again, seen in Pentecost and in times of revival, and also other seasons and touches of the Spirit. So it all fits in, verse 6 and verse 7. These are marks of a man filled with the Spirit. Likewise, love. Well, love is a famous one. The experience of the Spirit has been described before as the baptism of love. Man, with the love of God shed abroad in his heart. And then this significant and interesting addition, a sound mind. Does that fit in with the marks of the blessing of the Holy Spirit? Well, of course, the Spirit is known as the Spirit of truth. And of course it fits in. And we'll see, truth is very much part of a sound mind. The truth really is a feature in times of revival, and likewise in the early church. That's because the Spirit was filling men to preach Christ and the Scriptures. One more thing I want to mention before we come to our main points on the matter. the meaning of the very phrase, a sound mind. The word sound essentially means soberness, that is, not being drunk. Where the mind and the body of a man who is drunk is somebody who has lost some control, even might stagger from side to side. So it's not that. It's not somebody who has lost control of his thinking and his behavior and who staggers from side to side. No, rather, this sober mind, this sound mind, communicates clear thought and understanding, a steadiness it communicates, a structured mind and an orderly mind. We'll say more about this in a moment. But in contrast with the foolishness you often see in a drunken state, here we see seriousness and a fear of God, a sound mind. The fear of God is in this. Anyway, I would like to mention some aspects of this sound mind and then to look at important benefits of this sound mind just for a few moments this evening. Let's start with a sound soul before we come to a sound mind. As a starting point, the starting point of a sound mind is when a man hears the gospel and is saved. His mind was wayward, filled with his own notions, the errors and foolishness of the world and his day, the trends of his day. All that is put aside when the gospel enters his heart, his soul, and his mind. And so he comes to his senses, comes to his right mind. The orderly truths of the gospel of God enter his mind and his soul. And all things are new through Christ, the new birth, the new life, the new man, and also this new mind as well, where the soul has been regenerated, has been changed. The whole man has been changed. And of course, the mind as well. But the soul, there the soul has been born from above, and God has come to that man in his truth. It's a lovely thing to hear an evangelical preacher when he's preaching from the Word of God faithfully. How pleasing it is. We've often been blessed, haven't we, when we hear a godly man expound the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing quite like it. The beautiful feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And it is from this preaching of the Word of God, the soundness of the gospel, comes the soundness of our souls. Just mention the soundness of our souls, washed in the blood of Christ, dressed in his righteousness, right with God. So many things are put right. And the heart now, of course, away from the world, now desiring God, so much is corrected. And it leads to the mind as well. And this sound mind, because this is the essence of our phrase here, the mind itself. What about the Christian mind and the sound mind then? Well, the sound and sober mind of the Christian does not, as I said earlier, stagger from side to side or being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, as it says in Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now there's a strength and stability that's come to the Christian mind. And he will not list to the side, we could say, as a boat, you know, will list to the side. Very often, well, even a Christian can do this when he's not right. But a Christian with a sound mind will not do this. But we can list to the side, even in good doctrines, with overemphasis. You know, in a boat, if People shift their position and go to the side. The boat will list. Small boats anyway. Even a large boat, enough weight is shifted and causes instability. Our sound mind has everything in its place, in its right place. Is solid in the doctrines, holds them all in their place. And that is very important. You can hold them all, but not in their place, out of balance. You will not have a sound mind, therefore. There's a shape and a strength to a sound mind, a biblical structure. There's also, with this, comes the clarity and alertness, not a drunkenness and a vagueness and a loss of control and clarity, but rather a sharp mind and clear thinking. Alertness, spiritual alertness, goes along with his sound mind. And this sound mind is not only an clarity and understanding of the doctrines and practical thinking. It is all that, but much more than that. It's a spiritual understanding as well. If we just make it academic, we're missing this. You know, perhaps you saw that phrase, a sound mind, and you're thinking straight away of academic and academia. Oh no, truth is part of it, but it's how you handle that truth and its position in your mind is so important. And it must be spiritual, otherwise you're missing the point altogether. But what a lovely thing it is to think of the Christian mind filled with the truth of God, with all spirituality, and really a mind filled with God. What are we talking about? Yes, the truth of God. I'm just thinking, if you could look inside your mind, what's in your mind? Just think of the strength and the goodness of a mind filled with the truth of God. What a good place that mind is. And really, if it's spiritual, if there's spirituality here, filled with God, God comes with his truth. But let's go on. From a sound mind, we might mention a sound life. You see, the knowledge and doctrine of the scriptures is never, ever meant to be for the mind only. You mistake the scriptures if you go down that road. Now, it's true that there's nothing like the doctrines of the scriptures to satisfy the mind. There's nothing like it. It is the perfect science, the perfect art, you could say. It's everything a mind would want. But it was never meant to stay in the mind. No, it's always meant to affect the man in his entirety, the whole man, not in compartments. What comes to the mind is for the whole being, for the heart, for the life. To be applied, to be felt, to be lived. And so these truths affect the life. They must do. Otherwise, you know nothing. A sound mind is the foundation of a sound life. What a good life can come out of a sound mind. If a sound mind is in its place, the doctrine, the sense of God, spirituality, the life surely must flow from that. And what a lovely thought that is, a sound life, not staggering from side to side, but solid and true. Something quite beautiful about a solid Christian and living a godly life. Let's expand our thoughts just for a moment. The sound church as well, and broaden our horizons to think of the church. And the church, if it's sound, will be kept from errors. Errors on this side and the other side. And there is a terrible trend, is there not? To just veer from side to side with the latest idea and trends and influences. And many of God's people go this way and the temptation is, you go too. Then they go that way and you go with them. That is not a sound church. Sound church centers on the scriptures and upon God himself. The trouble with the church, sometimes there's not only a lack of clarity, it's a lack of interest in the true understanding of the doctrines. It's whatever works. That is not right. because the truth is, it doesn't work. Not in the way you would want it to work anyway. And very often the church is not in their right mind and is all over the place. And it must be said, of course, that is true today. The church is all over the place. It's like a drunken man staggering from side to side. No, a sound church. We very focus on the main things. We'll be mostly in the main things. And nothing will take them away from that. The devil might say, look here, look there, go there. And a sound church will say, that will have his place. We will keep on straight with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep preaching the gospel. It is our job in this pandemic. Not to veer to this view or that view. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep on declaring the truths to the people. That is our calling. Now, you might think it is not a difficult thing to be a sound church. Well, I tend to think it's not only possible for the church and a good sound church to lose a shape. It's actually inevitable, I would say. You might disagree with me. That is my humble opinion. Only grace can stop that. Because everything militates against it. It will never be the default. It's a battle, always, to be a sound church. The devil throws this at us and that at us to try to put us off, and it is full steam ahead. Very difficult to keep on going straight when things are happening all around you. No, a sound church will be in the main things. Main things, what are they? Well, of course, Christ. Christ is central. The cross of Calvary. The second birth. Sanctification, holiness of life. And all the doctrines that fit into that. Especially Christ crucified. Well, let's make some thoughts, round up a few matters we've mentioned and add a few more thoughts about the important benefits of a sound mind. What are the benefits of a sound mind? A sound mind is a foundation of peace. That is a great benefit. When our mind is full of doctrines, we have a reservoir of truth. We have a resource of the scriptures to be there and drawn upon. Is all there. And so we have substance and reason for our peace, like we had last week. When our mind is stayed upon Jehovah, fixed upon Jehovah, that's not a vague thing, upon the Lord, the truth about the Lord. And if we establish ourselves on him and the truth about him, then peace, perfect peace, or perfect peace, as it says in Isaiah. And as I mentioned last week, it's the word perfect is actually the word peace. It's a double peace, shalom, shalom, peace, peace. Oh, and there is in him, when we are fixed upon him, there is double peace, peace, peace. Yes, a sound mind is a foundation for fixing ourselves upon the truths of Jehovah and the peace that comes with it. You can't have peace without that. A sound mind is so important for that. A sound mind is a foundation of strength. What a resource. Not only to edify the soul is a sound mind, with health and strength for yourself. You fill your mind with strength and with health and goodness, and the Lord, and is good for yourself, is also good for others too. You edify yourself, you bless your own mind with God and his truths, and your soul, but you bless others. You edify yourself, you edify others. The sound mind is a blessing and the strength and health of your mind. A sound mind protects us from ourselves also. You know, we are prone to be taken up with little things, and they can wreak havoc in our mind. Small thoughts, vain thoughts, and disarray. And even though we know it's stupid, we still run after that course and let that thought distress us. And so many things can grip our minds. A sound mind keeps it all together. It's a solid mind. And it gives very little room for vain thoughts. Now forgive me. I do try not to give sporting illustrations and football ones or whatever. But I just feel, for those who understand football, this is a good illustration. It's like a well-disciplined team. They close down on the opposition. They don't give space to the opposition to play their game. If you allow the opposition to play the game, they look good, but you can make them look very ordinary when you close down and give them no space. A case in point, I think, although I only saw the highlights, but was that game last week, the Champions League final between Manchester City and Chelsea. And that Manchester City were the favourites, likely the strongest side. But Chelsea had a manager who was a tactician, and you could see his tactics. They just closed Manchester City down. They were not themselves. They could not do what they wanted to do. And so it is with a sound mind when it comes to the foolish things that cause such havoc and take us astray. And we give too much room for them. Close them down. A sound mind will do that. A sound mind will say, that's nonsense, and close down upon it and throw it away over the shoulder and not mess around with it. Likewise, a sound mind is resistant to the wiles of the devil. Same kind of illustration would be very useful there, perhaps more so even. Gives no room for the wiles of the devil. Closes the devil down. Doesn't allow the devil to have space in your mind to suggest things. The Bible speaks of the helmet of salvation, not just close down, but rebuff and resist. You know, likewise with that illustration, you don't give them a little space and then close down with them. You close down immediately. And so it is here with the devil. You rebuff and resist the devil. The mind games of the devil plays havoc with you. And you have to just close him down, resist him. The helmet of salvation doesn't get through, because, you know, that's the devil, you'll say. When he comes, you'll recognize him. Very often, he's allowed some space because you don't recognize him, don't see the traits of his character. But when you are sharp and a sound mind, you see him coming and you resist him straight away, or you spare yourself much heartache by this sound mind. The sound mind is also a basis of gospel communication. You're truly saved, but how frustrating it is that you cannot express the faith within you. I can remember that as a young Christian. I was truly saved. Found it so difficult to put together the gospel for other people. But a sound mind marshals the gospel and is practiced in it and has a firm grasp of the sequence of the gospel truths, and not just in a mechanical way, but with a spiritual adapting to the person in front of you, knowing what is important. Just from this point of view, understanding is not so important to win the argument. You can win the argument and lose the person. That as you speak to him, you want a word to reach his heart. As was said to Daniel Rowland, before he was converted. "Oh, for a word to reach your heart, young man," said the preacher to Daniel Rowland. And so it is with us. And to have those truths of the gospel in their place in our mind so that we can tell others with gentleness and spirituality and have a wisdom on the issues of the heart. That comes from a sound mind too. A wisdom with the issues of the soul and the heart. You understand the souls of men and women. Also, the sound mind comes with the spirit. As I mentioned already, I say so again. It's not to be confused with a man who has an academic understanding of the doctrines. That's all well and good, in as far as it goes. But it comes a long, long way short of this sound mind, as is meant here. This sound mind, as I said already, is a spiritual mind and a characteristic of a man filled with the Spirit. He's able to speak the gospel with power of the Holy Spirit, able to speak generally, just everything he has an unction, an anointing to it. It comes with the Holy Spirit. It carries with it a heavenly thinking. This sound mind is not earthly, it's heavenly. It's a mind with the Holy Spirit, has a heavenly unction upon it. Oh, we must lift ourselves to these things and not make our biblical doctrines just hard-edged and cold, rather warm and lively and full of God. They always are. And then lastly, the sound mind is the mind of Christ. Hear these words, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." 1 Corinthians 2, Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Oh, what a mind is the mind of Jesus Christ. Pure mind, clean mind. Mind full of truth and full of grace. And what marked out the mind of Christ was submission to the will of the Father. A beautiful mind. A mind aligned with God. What a thought that is. Isn't that what we're talking about? A mind aligned with God, not taken away like a drunken man with the madness of this world or the foolishness of error, but aligned with God. What a good thing it is to have a sound mind and a Christian mind. All in all then, the sound mind has health and strength of the Lord, for sure, with an unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Well, may God bless your minds, that you might have a Christian mind and a sound mind and a mind fixed upon Jehovah, because it is a mind full of the truths of God and full of God himself. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray for such minds, pray for such lives, pray, O Lord, for such churches. Make us sound, healthy, strong, good, full of truth, grace, love, that all these doctrines might fill our mind and might permeate, O Lord, to our very life in all applications. Lord, we pray that the word of God might be in our mind and we might be marshaled by the word and the spirit upon it. We pray these things in our Saviour. Amen.